Welcome to Dolphin Tales, episode 31, presented by Baptist Health. I'm your host, Scott Manzi, joined as always by my co-host, Pat Sitkins. And today we have a soccer-specific episode for you. Just by coincidence, but perhaps well-warranted, Pat's conversation this week is with men's soccer alum Tommy Krzanovic. He's a former pro and current head at JFC, and then I chatted with Habib Famuddatimi, a sophomore defender on the men's soccer team, as they get ready for the NCAA tournament after their sensational run through to an ASUN championship over the course of this spring. So a very soccer-heavy edition of the show this week, but it feels like it is well-deserved based off of the program's time in the limelight. All of that coming up here on episode 31 of Dolphin Tales, presented by Baptist Health. Baptist Health is the official healthcare provider of Jacksonville University Athletics. Baptist Health, changing healthcare for good. Coming up after the break, you'll hear Pat sitting down with Tommy Krzanovic, men's soccer alum.
While the world is staying home, the need to save lives never stops. Those of us who are part of the Baptist Health family know that the work we are called to do has never been more important than right now. So, to everyone who has made sacrifices, big or small, in order to continue serving our community, thank you, Baptist Health, the official health care provider of the Jacksonville Dolphins.
This is Jacksonville women's basketball head coach Darnell Haney. Shenatry Chiropractic is a proud sponsor of JU Athletics, located east of downtown in the Arlington neighborhood. Shenatry Chiropractic specializes in acupuncture for pain relief and sports performance. See how their quality chiropractic care can help you with back pain, neck pain, auto accidents, sciatica, and more. For more information about Shenatry Chiropractic, please visit chanatrydc.com. Shenatry Chiropractic.
Joining me today on Dolphin Tales is JU soccer alum Tommy Krzanovic. I nailed it.
Yep.
There we go.
Yep.
Tommy, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's start. Obviously had a great career here at the university. I forget how long ago they announced it, but part of the All-Decade team. So recently we had Chad Houseman, Chad Oliva, they were part of the baseball All-Decade, so to bring men's soccer All-Decade. I just want to talk about that. So first of all, congratulations on that nomination and being part of it.
Yeah, thank you. And obviously honored to have been nominated. I was actually driving on the way here and I was trying to figure out how many years ago was that exactly? And then started doing math and I said, it was just long ago. But back from basically 2003 to 2007, so.
Yeah, I know every time we start talking about it, you kind of realize it seems just like yesterday, even coming on campus, there's a lot of stuff that's still the same, but obviously a lot, even the River House, it's very different. And seeing the student athletes walking around, it's like, you remember it pretty quickly, but then when you really start doing the math, it seems a little bit longer ago. So.
Definitely some flashbacks here and there, driving around, coming in and really not seeing everything that's been done with campus. Now that I'm seeing the River House and I've been here before, watched the games, would come into the offices, even went into the locker room, chatted with the boys, and I know that the house has been up, but something that you kind of forget and you get away. Although you live right down the street, you just don't get the time to do it as much as you want. But super excited to be here and super excited to be back in.
Awesome. So let's talk about the All-Decade. When I talked to House and all of the, they didn't even know that they had been, selected for the team. So tell me about finding out about being part of the All-Decade team and what that meant to you, to kind of cap off your collegiate career.
Well put. Didn't know that they, even know what it meant and whatnot. I found out through a text message. Had a group of friends who text daily and then just say, hey, congratulations, and this and that. And, well, what's going on? And then was provided a link to the ASUN's page, and then found out really just that way. Looked into it, and obviously super honored to have been nominated. But But yeah, I mean, even looking at some of the list and some of the players that have been nominated in the past, whether it's soccer, whether it's baseball, whether it's other sports, I think one, grateful, obviously personally, but also I think a great stamp for the school as well.
So with the all-decade list, there was more than one Dolphin on there, right? It was you and one other person, is that right?
It was me and was it Axel?
I don't remember. I'm pretty sure there were two Dolphins on the list. So, you know, to be well represented is a great thing for the university, like you said. So talk to me a little bit about your decision to come here. So you're from Jacksonville as far as, you know, kind of growing up, correct?
Yeah, so my family are war refugees. So we left Croatia when I was about 4 or 5 years old, moved to Germany. We actually left right before the war and ended up staying in Germany. We're given refugee status by the country because the war had, the former Yugoslavia war, civil war, had begun. And so we were given refugee status and were able to stay and remain in Germany. And when the war was over, it was basically time to move back. An opportunity came about where we found out, or my family, my parents had found out that we could come to the United States. My mom and dad are from two different religions.
Okay.
And so that created the conflict, and the United States provides, or at the time provided a program for war refugees or for families like ours to give them refuge here so that we don't go back into a hostile situation, basically. So we pursued the program. I was about 14, 15 years old. It's a very thorough program. You have to go through the embassy. You have to visit the embassy 3 or 4 times. It's a thorough vetting process. And we were granted access to come into the United States. And funny enough, and I always tell this story, but at first we were given an opportunity to go to Columbus, Ohio. We didn't know where that was. Never heard of that. And could have been South America for me, all for I have known. But my dad and I were watching a soccer game. At the time, Germany was playing the U.S. at the stadium here in Jacksonville. And little did I know that even Germany had been training out of JU, which I found out later. But we watched it on TV and we said, why don't we go there? And, you know, number one, they're playing soccer. Number two, it's in Florida, so weather must be nice. So we decided, we asked if we could come to Jacksonville, and we're again granted permission to come to Jacksonville because Jacksonville was one of the basically hubs for refugees to come. So Jacksonville, St. Louis, New York, Chicago, and so on and so forth. Came here, and I was about 14 or 15, did high school here at Englewood High School. And then really, I don't think my family had been situated yet. It's very tough not knowing the language for my parents, coming in, finding work or permanent work. And so the decision was, I was being recruited at different, you know, with different universities as well, but the decision was, do I go to a university away from my family? And then my family said, well, we'll just go with you. And I said, well, I'll make it easy. I'll just stay here.
Okay.
And we don't have to move again. And ended up going to JU. So super happy, super excited. I couldn't have made, I think, a better choice. Private school, learned a lot. The classroom structure was very beneficial to me and my academics because my process was much lower than maybe someone else's. But very grateful to have been given that opportunity. And so that's kind of my
history. Incredible. So 14 or 15, so was that like right around, was that freshman year?
Freshman year of high school, yep.
Did you know English when you came over? So you got thrown into high school. And that's not easy for anyone, but then to be in that situation.
Yeah, myself, like many others, were thrown in that situation. And it wasn't, thinking back, I've made the same experiences going from Croatia to Germany, going into first grade, not knowing the language, took me probably about 6 months or so to learn the language. Coming here, you know, I remember my first exam I had, or essay I had to present in German because I just didn't know the language. But I will also say that the staff, the teachers, the community has been super, super welcoming within that process. So I think the process was much easier than it may have been somewhere else. I don't know. But you know, I wasn't the only one. Many other students at that time came in at around the same time, learned the language or had to learn the language. I think thinking back about it is something that I think about is how many of us there were from other countries, whether it was Croatia, Bosnia, Serbia, even from African countries and whatnot. So I think what kind of held us back is that we were always together, and so we didn't learn English right away, so it probably took us a little bit longer. But the 3-4 years at Inglewood, fantastic experiences, and then coming to JU and just kind of continue there. So,
I mean, that's just got to be incredible to be able to represent the city, you know, being at Jacksonville University, the city that brought you in and, you know, gave you the American experience, and then to be able to play here, which I imagine was a pretty diverse team when you came here as well. So to have sort of that melting pot situation on the team, but what an incredible story to be able to, you know, move here and then go to school here to stay close to your family and all that.
Yeah. And it was diverse. We had players from Germany, from Sweden, from Trinidad, from Jamaica. We had, you know, the U.S., of course, but a very diverse group. And some of the friendships that, or some of the experiences you make with people that you still have, and some of the relationships you still have to this day. So a super positive experience, very good experience for me overall. So.
Yeah, I mean, it just speaks to soccer overall, just a global game. I mean, with baseball, I think our diversity was, we had some people from up Northeast. Yeah, that was about it. We had Florida and like Pennsylvania maybe. So, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I always thought that was great, even in high school, but specifically here, to see the diversity that soccer brought people together. And it's interesting, we were actually talking about this with a group of people right around the Super Bowl, and just how massive soccer really is. Because I think, you know, in the U.S., I know you're doing a lot, and I want to talk about this with JFC, but to see the growth of that game, and, you know, obviously with the U.S., it's baseball, football, things like that, and I think in America, you don't see the true global nature of the sport and how big it really is, and there was a great way to show it. Right after the Super Bowl, they showed Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And this is a stat, but you know, he's got, I think it was 9 million Instagram followers, which is 9 million followers. But then they showed Messi, Ronaldo, and all those guys, and they have 100 million. And so it shows, you know, how big those guys really are on the global stage. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, let's talk about JFC, mm-hmm. What you guys are doing to grow the game here locally and, you know, help kids get into, you know, higher levels of soccer.
We, you know, Jacksonville FC, really, I think what we're doing now, and granted, COVID has kind of pushed us back a little bit, but out of COVID also a lot of good positives, a lot of positives have come about. Recruitment process is different. That period is on. So we had to think outside the box as far as what do we do with our, you know, sophomores, juniors, seniors? How do we expose them to the next level? How do we get them, how do we showcase them to college coaches, whether it's Mauricio here at JU, whether it's other colleges, right? So I'll say there's a setback, but I'll also say that we've learned from the experiences quite a bit. We've kind of stepped outside our comfort zone and really pushed and challenged ourselves within the staff here at JFC or at JFC to provide them an outlet. And that outlet could be whether we recorded more games, whether we're putting our matches on YouTube, whether we are sending starting lineups to 650 plus coaches, whether we are, you know, communicating with them individually and on their behalf, using us as a reference. So I think that process has gotten a lot better, and I think that it's going to continue carrying on. We're not going to go backwards now. I think we're going to go forwards for those age groups. Within the younger ones at the club, I think something that we finally started doing is connecting campuses. So we have two different campuses, three different parks, and I don't want to, you know, if thinking back, I'm saying we operated just a little bit different because, you know, you're going through different people, you're going through different avenues, and everyone has different habits. And I think we've finally broken those habits, whether good or bad, you know, it's about what the club needs and what's best for the club, and not what's best for an individual or a parent or and so on. It's player driven, it's a player development model, and it's what, how can the club provide that pathway for each player, whether it's college, collegiate, whether it's professional, whether it's MLS Academy, whether it's rec, whether it's elite, whatever that may be. So I think certainly we, with the connection of campuses and the connection of programs and allowing resources to trickle down from the top program all the way down into almost, you know, Happy Feet and future First Touch Academy and Junior Academy, I think that's been the great benefit for our members and our players.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I've got three kids. My youngest did Happy Feet for a little bit. I don't think we're quite ready for it yet, but she tried it. But we've got one in the Development Academy and then one that's doing the elite stuff. So to see, and they've gone, you know, the last few years, so to see even their progression, and Katie and I were actually talking about it beforehand, just how clubs have really come together, you know, and there used to be so many more little segments years ago, and now, you know, there's a lot of consistency, which I think is great for the kids, but to have, like you said, you know, multiple campuses, multiple fields, multiple parks, and multiple opportunities for the kids to sure. kind of fit in where they are. You know, they're not going to get left behind because they're not quite where they need to be. You're helping everyone just appreciate the game and get better. It seems like with JFC, I mean, with Jacksonville Football Club, just so mm-hmm. we can say that out loud, there's a lot of JU representation there within the administration, the coaches. I know Pat Cannon coached here for a while. Mm-hmm. He's a big part of that, obviously, you and some others. So one thing that we've talked about with a lot of the guests is that transition from being an athlete, you know, for so much of your life to, and we've had different, you know, some people ended their career here, some went on to professional sports, but there's always that period where it's finally over. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk a little bit about your path, because you had a fantastic career post JU. So let's start with that. So after JU.
So after JU, or, well, after my 4 years of playing at JU, I was drafted by Dallas in the MLS draft, and then stopped my academics. So I had six classes left. Three of the classes I was able to continue at or while being away and was granted that permission. The other three I couldn't finish because I was away. so I had to relocate to Dallas. I was drafted. I remember I was on campus when I found out. I didn't get drafted in the first round, so I was like, all right, this is not going to happen. And honestly took a nap. And then phone blew up, woke up, phone blew up, and then I found out that I had been drafted by Dallas. So went there, relocated, went there, made a fantastic experience. I think the biggest takeaway from going there was not having signed a professional contract, but was my area of improvement, actually. What I was doing really well, but also what I still needed to improve for my game. My dream was always to play in Europe. So I got to Dallas and I was going, okay, this is great. Maybe this is the end of the path where I go and learn a lot and get my caps and my games and whatnot. But was later released and decided to come back. I was always thinking, okay, my freshman year of college, I'm gonna go play pro. So I went to Europe with my contacts, and was able to train at Basel, at Kaiserslautern, at Freiburg, at Osijek, at Zagreb. Making those experiences really pushed me and got me outside of my comfort zone, and I saw a different picture of what a professional athlete really needed to look like. And then getting to Dallas, I saw it, but I still wasn't quite ready yet. Okay. Ended up going to Europe, stayed there for a year, because of a family situation, decided to come back, and really at that time I thought I was done. You know, I started coaching. Pat Cannon from JFC, the executive director, called me and said, "Hey, you know, if you're not playing anymore, why don't you come coach? You know, give back to the players." And so I did that, and little by little, with the pathway we're trying to provide for the players at JFC, we were doing that 10 years ago. You know, 10 years ago, we started saying, we don't have anything at the top end. What do we do? So we created a NPSL group, bought a franchise, was called Jacksonville United, won the national championship, which was great right from the get-go. No one anticipated that happening. And even then, I still thought that my career was done. My professional career was done, but I was still playing. And funny enough, the goalkeeper at Dallas, the current goalkeeper at Dallas, who was Dario Sala, was retired and became the GM at Jacksonville Armada. And he called me and said, are you still available to play? And I said, yeah, why not, you know? So I was about 28 or 20, it was about 28 when we made contact. I remember we actually trained at JU from the beginning, had a preseason camp and whatnot. The coaching staff saw me, was really interested. And 6 months later, I signed another professional contract, thinking that my career was completely done. So at 28, 29, signed another contract and thought to myself, well, hey, what do we do here, you know? And again, made some really good experiences, learned a lot from the coaching staff there because the diversity, you know, now was heavily South American influenced. Okay. And that coach later on became the Bolivian national team coach, and he's had some unbelievable stints. So good or bad, I learned a lot. The environment was, I continued to grow in the environment, right? Whether I liked it or I didn't like it, some decisions I didn't like, but overall, I still grew and took all of that information back to being able to coach at JFC now. And 2 years later, I was done. So that's kind of my story. At about 30 years old, I was my last contract.
I like how you glossed over the championship, because I know you're the team captain and MVP of the tournament, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a very humble way to say.
Well, I scored 3 goals and had 3 assists from a high school teammate who later was a college teammate, Ramak Safi. And it's just funny how things work out, don't they? And again, we were able to represent Jacksonville. You know, the community, the soccer community in Jacksonville, if you look back, and you've mentioned this earlier, you know, it seemed it was small, but it's a big community. And we're hoping that now with the Armada and what the Armada is trying to do is ties it all together again and provides that pathway for our younger players. At the end of the day, I think if we're doing everything that we're doing, we're hopefully doing it for the right reasons, and the right reason is for the players to have a pathway. So they don't have to go Minnesota, they don't have to go Dallas, they don't have to go anywhere, but they have a professional platform right here within Jacksonville.
It's a great location, great weather to do that. So you mentioned your growth, which I think is really interesting. So when you're talking to the JFC players, when you talk to, you had mentioned you come back and talk to the Dolphin teams as well, what are maybe one or two things that you learned through that incredible experience of professional soccer, the growth aspect? What are things that you are telling, you know, the future generation of professional players or whoever, you know, however big they want to get? What is some of that growth lesson that you're trying to pass on?
Something that we do a lot now, especially that we have a player-driven motto. Player-driven means player development. Player development means providing the opportunities for players to be able to play at any level they would desire. And again, we have so many different programs. It could be rec and could be getting better at rec. It could be elite and it could be U9s and U10s, and it could be then as the old age groups as old as U17, 18, and 19. Where my personal growth came from was when I started realizing how much I still needed to improve and what those areas exactly were. And I think what we do a really good job with now is with our players is provide an individual pathway for every player. It's very, very important that and we're not perfect at what we're doing yet. We certainly are finding hurdles and areas to improve ourselves logistically to make it all work. But at the highest level, at the MLS Next program that we have, which is the former DA program, that's working, right? So we've taken that model, we've taken those ideas, and now allowed everyone to take advantage of those ideas, right? And so that includes a PDP, a player development plan, program, and an IDP, an individual development plan. And so I think those are very crucial when we talk about player development, because player development isn't team oriented. You know, we don't talk a lot about team success. Team success is great, but team success could come from two players. And then we miss out on the other 13, 14, 15, 16. Individual development, where we want to improve each player. If we improve each player individually, because everyone has something else they need to work on or improve, then we can not only provide a better plan for that player or individualized plan, but we can actually make each team better by making each player better, so to say. And like I said, I think we've done a really good job. I think we still have a lot to learn from what's going on, from the environment that we've set forth. But overall, are now really going into details of what does that look like for your children? Your son or you have son and daughter?
I have son, white boy, girl, girl.
Boy, girl, girl.
Yeah, so boy's the oldest.
So your boy may be excelling at some areas, whereas the middle child may not be, right? And she may be super fast, but he's not, and so. It just depends on what each player needs, and we want to provide the resource for them to be able to get to that, whatever it is they desire. At the end of the day, it has to come from the players, and they have to put the extra work in. But that's exactly what I've noticed is my own growth came from me putting in extra work when maybe no one else was doing it. And the same goes for every player, right? So.
I would say enthusiasm would be at the top of what my kids are at. They love soccer. I keep saying I'm doing a terrible job parenting because my wife played here. So my kids all want to play soccer and want nothing to do with baseball. So I'm doing something wrong, I guess, or she's doing something much better than me. So let's close with one JU story. What's your best on campus, on field, on pitch story that you've got from your time here?
Be very careful about what I say next.
Everyone says that.
Yeah, yeah. No, because you make so many great experiences, and some of the stories are completely soccer related. Some of the stories are you know, also there's a life away from soccer. There's a life away from baseball, and often what we tell players too is sometimes you have to take a break from something that overwhelms you in order so that you can miss it again, and that you can really find love for that, whether it's sport, whether it's academics, whatever that may be. But the best story, probably, if I had to think, it wasn't really, I don't even think it was for me, it was watching the group when I left, and I was actually in Germany at the time, watching that group win the ASUN conference. So, and I don't think it was more so because, you know, we got better and better and better. And when I was there, we didn't win ASUN conference. I remember we lost in the semis. It was down at Stetson. But a year later, watching that same group, because those are my friends, those are the guys that I've just played with, watching them win it was probably the best experience for me.
Great. Well, Tommy, thank you so much for coming on. If you want to see Tommy, go out to JFC, because I'm sure he's at the field pretty much all day, every day. So,
all
Tommy,
the time.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront resides on the south bank of the St. Johns River in downtown Jacksonville. DoubleTree is where an exceptional locale blends with an array of amenities, personable service, and a better night's sleep. When we're not napping in our luxe bedding, you can probably find us relaxing by the riverfront pool, jogging along the riverwalk, or sipping a cocktail at our on-site Roots Crit Steakhouse. DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront, a proud partner of the Jacksonville Dolphins.
At Law Offices of George Hunter, PA, we commit to a cooperative process to get the job done to the client's ultimate satisfaction. With a client-first focus, our firm applies an extraordinary work ethic to effectively resolve legal issues. Contact us today at 813-856-2096. Law Offices of George Hunter, a proud partner of Jacksonville University Athletics.
My guest today on Dolphin Tales is Habib Famuddatimi of men's soccer, who is literally in a hotel in North Carolina as they get ready to face off against American University in the opening round of the NCAA Men's Soccer Championship on Thursday evening. And Habib, thanks so much for taking the time. And Man, we have a lot to get over that has happened since the last time we talked, right before the season started. But what's the excitement level like? What is kind of the last 24 hours since you guys got on the bus, made the trip up to Winston-Salem, North Carolina? What's it been like from the team's perspective?
For the past few days, the boys have been buzzing, like, through the roof, you know. The bus trip, you know, filled with music, laughter, you know, everyone's, there's a lot of togetherness. And so as soon as we get off, everyone's, you know, taking in the moment. And I feel like every team activity, team event that we have throughout the day, everyone's really soaking it in and knowing that it's a special time. And it's a great moment to be playing right now. Not a lot of teams have this opportunity, so we're thankful, for real.
It is an interesting dynamic. You try and balance the focus that is necessary in order to accomplish the goal that is winning a game in the NCAA tournament, but you also don't want to let the moment go past, right? Without you all taking a little time to appreciate where you are and what you accomplished to get here.
Yeah. Definitely. Our coach spoke about obviously, you know, taking the moment in, but also being focused and being ready. There's a fine line between the two. And I think the boys have been doing a good job of, especially after training today, we really focused on ourselves, not so much the opponent as yet, because I think we realistically have ourselves to beat in this game. You know, we're our biggest opponent, honestly. And yeah, we've been really focusing on how we want to go about tomorrow night and not let the moment slip past us. And it's been good so far. Yeah.
Let's go all the way back to, I believe it was early to mid-January. You all were back on campus. You were training. Practice started. You were getting ready for this unconventional spring season, and had the chance to talk to you as part of a preview series we were doing for the website. And one of the things that got highlighted by both you and Coach Ruiz was just the way you all took advantage of that fall and didn't look at it as something was taken away from you in the form of a season, but that it was an opportunity to really spend some time, grow together as a team, as a unit, much more time than you would typically get prior to the start of a season. I mean, looking back on that now, how much of an impact do you feel like that actually had on your success this season?
I think all the success that we had was 100% down to the team. It was not just an individual season for anyone. Every game was a team game that was won or lost. Everything was with the team. So I think that fall really helped us develop that depth between each other and just that team chemistry that you can see it on the field. It's really unspoken at times. There's a lot of intangible things that we're succeeding together with as a team. And yeah, I really give it to the fall. And has been an unconventional season, as we all know, but I think the boys took the best of it and took advantage of the fall that we had.
Where did you see things from your perspective when you all hit conference play shift? Because you went through a couple of early season struggles, but once A-Sun play started, you managed to find a pretty nice rhythm there, especially on the defensive end, but I think collectively as well.
Thing with college soccer is that there's different seasons. There's you have the preseason, then you have your non-conference season, your conference season, and then hopefully your postseason. And I think once that shift happened, when we hit the conference season, there was a change in mindset that, listen, this is when, you know, the past is in the past. This is when we have to start getting some W's along. So obviously we've been, you know, focusing. Things didn't really go our way, but the team really came together in a tough moment, a little dip in our performance, and really came together. And we saw the success throughout the conference, you know, obviously winning it all. But I think it was really down to that shift. There was a mental shift that we had, you know, together. And everyone kind of realized that, listen, we have to make the most of what's coming up this next season that we have, this conference season. And we thank God that we did.
You brought up how everything has been collective as a team. I mean, all sorts of guys honored on the all-conference team that came out last week, but it really feels like while there's some big names, some big performers, that the guys that have been running hard in practice all season long that don't get the same type of attention on a game day have been just as important. Where have you seen maybe the strength of the collectiveness of you all as a unit?
The collective strength is shown in our team bonding activities, you know, just wanting to be around the guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of, like I said, it was just really unspoken, you know, on the field. There's an understanding, a connection between every player on every side of the field. And some teams don't have that. And I think great teams have that. And we're definitely on our way to becoming a great team. You know, we have a lot of good individuals, but the collective, that's the thing that every day we're striving to, you know, get better at. And Coach Ruiz always talks about how good can the collective be. And, you know, he uses word Ubuntu, which is just how good we are, you know, as a collective. And we've really soaked that in and tried to, because I know personally, I think we're only as strong as our weakest player. And I think our weakest player is pretty strong. So, you know, that's the idea of how, you know, our success has been coming through.
Yeah. What are some of the things you guys do to bond, find that nature, gelling nature off the field?
We like to listen to music together, you know, go on drives together, whether it's going to the senior house and, you know, just seeing what the guys are up to. And there's a good locker room feel too. You know, everyone is involved. Everyone, it's an interactive place. You know, everyone has their role in the team. And I think the freshmen have really bought into what the seniors are putting down. And it's really shown that, again, the collectiveness is really, it's really showing.
You bring up the freshmen, so many guys, I mean, from Olivia Correa, Cal Chavez, Neil Ringstrand, and others that have earned recognition for what they've been able to do as far as their performances on the field this year. But how did they settle into their roles? How did you all as upperclassmen get them to both perform so well on the field, but then also, you know, buy into everything off of it as well?
So, yeah, you just mentioned three really, really good players. And we've kind of developed an identity as a team. This is the way that we want to play. You know, we want to keep the ball, and then defensively we want to be really organized and, you know, shut things down. And individually, they're all, you know, really talented players, but they've bought into the JU brand that we've put down. And I think that's why they're seeing a lot of success, because Ollie's a great individual player, you know, on the ball, and that's where it goes. Cal is a great dribbler, you know, take anyone 1v1. And Neil, good defender, and he's really filling in his role as the center back. And I think these guys, and also many more to come, but they're buying into the identity that we've put down, that the leaders on the team have put down. And yeah, it's really helping them out and finding their future role in the team. Yeah.
Defensively, you play on the back end, and you all put together a stretch that was just absolutely incredible in conference play as far as holding opponents scoreless at home. Where, and I know it's a sense of pride, but how do you take wanting to be that dominant on that side of the ball and execute it? What was sort of the key to your guys' success back there this season?
It goes down to what we start in the training pitch. As a back line, you know, with Zach Blyce, Neil Ringstrand, Max coming in, and also Kiko Francisco. As a back line, we've talked about it a lot, how we just want to be organized. We want to see things early before they happen. And I think there's been many, many times in games where we've seen things happening before that, you know, it's start to come down on our side, and we shut it down, you know, through communication. And I don't really think there's been many, many times where we've had our back turn and it's an old snap moment. Like, oh, they might, you know, it's been really, really organized, and we've been, you know, keeping things in front of us. And again, we've tried to keep this kind of identity and as a defensive unit from the fall, really. And I guess now that we're seeing it pay dividend in the season, it's been a blessing, because sometimes things don't always go the way you plan. But yeah, we've been fortunate not to concede not many goals this season. And I'm really not surprised. It comes down to a lot of patience and hard work.
The conference tournament has been, you know, well discussed about how it came to a conclusion. But just, I'm curious from your perspective, as a player's perspective, when you all were dealing with that window between Saturday night, when the rain wouldn't abate and the lightning continued, and a scoreboard that had you guys down on it, to Sunday and a chance to get out there, different field, different city, and a chance to try it again. I mean, where were you all, and how were you all able to either compartmentalize or just process all of that over the course of that just absolutely wild 18 hours or so?
Yeah, I think that came down to a battle of two sides. And our side, from what I can understand, was we were really calm and really mature about the situation. And obviously, it's really weird, you know, it's unprecedented, really. Like, I've never happened to me before. But in the locker room, a lot of guys were calm and waiting for what was next, whether it was another 45 or another game, whether we had to go play that night or play somewhere else the next day. I think a lot of guys took it in and understood what it was, that we still had a game to play. You know, there's still a lot of game to play. And that came down to a lot of maturity that I won't say I'm surprised with. I'm really, really, really thankful for the teammates that I have, because you don't get that a lot. And it was a battle of the two sides. And then the next day, an opportunity fell into our laps that, we're thankful for. And it just came down to taking the most, of the opportunity, because the coaching staff saw something different. And, we were able to change the way we approached that game, and it worked out.
What's been the most fun moment that you personally have had over the course of the last week and a half now?
So we've had some time to soak in the championship, and but we have to move past it, because now we have another opportunity to hopefully do that again. But the most fun, I would say, I think it was right as soon as that whistle went, the final whistle went on Sunday, and just the joy, the shirts coming out, seeing the trophy, and being able to hold that and seeing the goals that we set and the vision that we had as a team, as a player on the team. It was just, this is the moment, that we've been looking forward to for a year and a half now, and this is it. And that I still haven't come down from that high, but we're just prepared to move on, and enjoy it at a later time.
Do you have any idea what the emotions might be going through your mind when you take the pitch on Thursday evening for that NCAA tournament match?
I know I can speak for a lot of guys when I say this. We're doing what we love to do, and now it's on a bigger stage. And it's a national tournament. We're happy to be here, but we want to make the most of the opportunity that we have. And we're playing soccer, we're playing football, doing exactly what we love to do. I feel like I'm exactly where I should be. So, just buzzing really to get started tomorrow night.
Well, I hope this is certainly just the next chapter in what is an excellent story to tell, as the men's soccer program faces off against American on Thursday night, 6:00, airing on ESPN3. And Habib Famuddintimi, you'll be out there on the back end helping hopefully post a clean sheet and advance on to face the Clemson Tigers after that. Thanks for the time. Enjoy this moment as it continues, and best of luck on Thursday evening.
Appreciate that, Scott. It's been a pleasure, man.
The Hampton Inn Oceanfront Jacksonville Beaches location is perfect for everything from a weekend getaway, a corporate conference, or even a beautiful beach wedding. Our heated lagoon-style pool with cascading waterfalls and rock grotto sets the mood for rest and relaxation. Our unique event space and full-service catering department offers everything you need for any special event. Join us at the Tides Beach Bar and Grill, where you can enjoy the ocean breeze and your favorite libation. Call the Hampton Inn Oceanfront for more details at 904-241-2311.
Your local Napa Auto Care Center is independently owned, operates by a written code of ethics, and provides service you can trust. Put your vehicle in the care of ASE-certified technicians in your neighborhood. They're backed by Napa. Quality parts, national warranties. That's Napa know-how. Your Napa Auto Care Center might just be the treated me fairly, I love those guys place you've been looking for your vehicle. Stop by today at
jacksnapa.com. We'd like to thank both guests who joined us here today on episode 31 of Dolphin Tales. First, you heard from Tommy Krizanovic, men's soccer alum with Pat, and then my conversation with Habib Famuddintimi, a sophomore defender on the men's soccer team. This has been episode 31 of Dolphin Tales, presented by Baptist Health. For my co-host, Pat Sitkins, I'm Scott Manzi saying so long, stay safe, and we look forward to bringing you more great conversations from the Jacksonville University Athletics community next time